Well, this morning I decided I would preach on the topic of relevant, inspiring, exciting and friendly. And my technology doesn't always work. I have a mouse I've tried to use before. And but instead of a mouse, I thought I'd come up with this old school way of advancing the slide. Because I was inspired by one of the things that Colin said last week. Been listening to one of the most boring sermons I've ever listened to. And I want to ensure that that's not me this morning. So, I've had a better idea for the bell. Margaret, you're in charge of the bell. Now, if I'm boring at any point, just ring the bell and tell me to move on to the next slide. Okay, now... Not yet. Colin didn't say why the sermon that he'd heard the week before was really, really boring. I did pick up from the sermon that he wasn't here. So it wasn't Stephen's sermon that he'd heard. It was a different one. So that's good to know. I suspect that it wasn't just because the sermon wasn't entertaining, but possibly because it wasn't relevant. So the next slide. This is what Colin was speaking about. Was anybody not here last week? Good. Well, you could listen to the sermon again, and Colin can listen to this one. But he spoke about various things from the scriptures, bringing up seven-point sermon. Wow, that's it. A seven-point sermon in which he touched on bereavement, disappointment, fear, doubt, backsliding, direction, and finally, blessing. Picking up on elements of that whole Easter story and how people struggled back then as they struggle now. Next slide. I actually got the quote. I borrowed it from the Anglicans. What is it? Ever thought church should be relevant, inspiring, exciting and friendly? We think so too. Come and join us for the 6 p.m. service, which does leave me a little bit concerned that they're just advertising that one that way. But 6 p.m., has anybody been to the 6 p.m. service?
Not recently.
Not recently? Well, was it exciting and relevant? Well, I hope so. We're not going to diss them. We're not going to diss the Dove either. A new church in Uttoxeter, I've labelled it. Because compared to the Anglican Church, it's pretty new, isn't it? You've not been around for that long. You're new, but perhaps not quite new enough for that to be a selling point, for that to be the thing that gets people in through the doors. Now, both of the photos I've just shown show buildings. Here's another building. Didn't you watch Notre Dame burn less than 2 weeks ago? But as tragic as it was, you know that the church is not just a heritage that can be destroyed by flames. Perhaps you remember Hebrews 13:14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking for the city that is to come. We can cherish the past, whether it's Notre Dame, the Dove, the Anglicans. But we need to see past the great buildings to what inspired them. Jesus once said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days." And people mocked him. Next slide. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's a very popular way of explaining the gospel. Some situations it doesn't sound as real and relevant. And we know that Christianity isn't always easy. Just ask Jesus. Just ask the early church. Just ask countless Christians through the ages. Just ask each other. I'm not going to show you pictures of the bombings in Sri Lanka last week. Many churches are closed. Except the buildings are closed. Something interesting is happening. They decided they'd televise the service, so everybody must worship at home. Yeah. And guess what?
Oh,
there'll be some people who watch that televised service who would never have gone into a church. But pray for our brothers there. Perhaps in the next bickerings of Brexit or the next big disaster, that'll distract you from Sri Lanka, from our brothers and sisters there. But the survivors are going to continue to live with the devastation caused on Easter Day. We pray that each orphan and widow, each father and mother will be comforted by Christ in their grief and supported by the local and international community. Next slide. It does just show some of the coffins. Death is not the end, though. But it is real. For the believer, to die is to be with Christ. To live, that can be hard. But there is comfort and there is joy. Now, this week, Jennifer's going to be attending a course on trauma healing, devised by some colleagues in the aftermath of terrible civil war in what was Zaire, became the strangely named Democratic Republic of Congo. But missionaries who'd known this community devastated by civil war, genocide, systematic rape, used as a weapon. All too familiar part of the burden that millions of refugees and the internally displaced face. But the next slide, we have some good news. The church has and is growing in many parts of the world. Next slide, I'm going to introduce you to some friends of mine. Well, I've only actually met one of them, a chap called Wayne Dye and his wife Sally, one of my heroes. And I was at a set of meetings with him recently, and a couple of years ago he introduced me to somebody as his friend. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I'm Wayne's friend. Let me tell you why. Wayne and Sally, they went to Papua New Guinea in the 1960s. It took them a while to realise, but God had already been at work there before them. Next slide. Just a picture. Illustrate this community that they were working with was a community that had truly known loss. The babies were dying. And the babies kept dying. And they determined that they were going to find out whose fault it was. Who had somehow caused the spirits to do this? They worked it out. It was those people over there. And they knew what they needed to do. They got their stone axes. And they went to massacre that neighbouring village. But the neighbouring village didn't have stone axes. They had steel ones. And they wiped out all the men of this group. There are only a few left. But the survivors regrouped, relocated, and one of them had a dream of a pale man who would come with a book that would somehow be the answer to their problems. And then Wayne and Sally arrived. Now, it's a long story, but it is summarised in a 16-minute video that I'll post on the Facebook group or share with you later. But it's a great story. I want to show you just the next picture. Can't see it terribly clearly, but the truth began to take hold amongst these people. Wayne and Sally left on furlough in 1968, year I was born. A church had begun and 50 men and women were baptised. Amazing that there were even 50 men and women to be baptised in that community at that point. There's an awful lot more to say about what happened back there. But one thing I want to share is a little story of the first worship song that this community ever wrote. They decided, you know, you've been explaining some of this to us in our own language, and we think that we should have some worship songs in our language. How do we do that? And I gave them a couple of ideas and sent them away to just think about it, work on it, come up with a song. And they came up with a song. They came back just a few hours later. And I won't attempt to sing it in their language or in ours. But the basic thing of it was, it was only sort of one line, and it said, Jesus is our brother. It's the same every day. That was the song. They sang it again and again. And at first, you know, the mind's going, is there more to it than that? But later, kind of realized, what does that mean to this community? This community who have felt so totally rejected, felt lost in themselves, felt despised. Everybody around them despised them. And then they were able to say, Jesus, he's our brother. Wow. Wow. Now, with this guy on our side, you'd better not mess with us. Jesus is our brother. With this guy as our brother, you can't say we're despised anymore. The king of the universe is our brother. Jesus is our brother. It's the same every day. So, next. A verse you may have heard of. You may know it in a number of different translations. I love the fact that I looked this one up in several different translations on Bible Gateway or other websites. And in the King James, 400 and something years ago, they said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the New Living Testament, the ESV, and the Good News Translation, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says it in a few other languages as well. Anybody want to read that one? Jesus Christ, no change. Same, this is the Jamaican New Testament. You can kind of follow it along. It's harder to read because that's not your way of speaking. Or another one, Jesus Christ. That's the second one's in Polish. I don't speak Polish, but I do know it's kind of the second most popular language in England right now. But enough of the linguistics. We're going to take the verse in context. We're going to read together from Hebrews. Let's read it together. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. So Jesus also suffered outside the city gate, to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking for a city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So I'm going to look at some of the same points that Colin brought up, but just from kind of the flip side, from bereavement to looking at support. Jesus is with you, and so are we. Can we share that message with anybody who's bereaving? Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Hope He prepared to tell anybody in despair that there is hope, even in the midst of the worst circumstances, because we've been there, and God's brought us through it. Maybe we've not been in the same places as some of the people we encounter. We need to be open and honest. The worst thing that we've ever suffered is the worst thing that we've ever suffered. But remember, those in prison as though you were together with them in prison, those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Courage. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the confidence to continue. Soon after his death and resurrection, Jesus comes into this locked room, dispels that fear. So we're reminded again in Hebrews, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Sometimes you don't see him. Doesn't mean he's not there. Encouragement. I thought of this one as the flip side to sort of backsliding. And recognise that sometimes we may need a kick up the backslide. but mostly it's about coming alongside people, isn't it? Being there to encourage people. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching, we're reminded. And it's easy to... The gospel doesn't seem to be working. Maybe we need to do it somehow differently. Maybe we need a new version, a new narrative. No. We may need to say some things differently at times. But let's encourage one another and let's get out there and encourage the world. Community. We were reminded that we're commissioned. Commissioned to go and do a job together. Our work is now to spread the gospel. That's here in Uttoxeter, here in our communities, our workplaces. That's by loving one another, showing hospitality, remembering the imprisoned and the mistreated. It's about everything that's in Hebrews and everything that's in the rest of Scripture. Blessing. One of the things that... was that final thing that Colin mentioned last week was about blessing. And it's an old-fashioned word, and we're not quite sure what does it mean. Does it mean sort of peace, purpose, power? Any other things beginning with P? It can mean a whole bunch of things. One thing I know it doesn't mean as an overarching thing is prosperity in this world, except prosperity in the riches of the things that really count. But what does it mean? What did it mean to that group that I mentioned that Wayne Dye went out to? What would blessing look like to a community where every child has died? Well, at one point after Sir Wayne and Sally arrived, now Wayne was Sally had trained as a nurse. One of the things that she did, teach them about malaria, because actually it probably wasn't the evil spirits. It was more likely malaria that was wiping out these kids, as it still does in so many places today. And she tried to teach them about that, but it went against the things that they knew. And at one point they went and showed her this stone here. This is where the evil spirit lies. This is what's killing our children. Will you take it away for us? And Sally prayed about that and took that stone away. And lots of stuff happened, but some of the children began to be born and to live. That was the most powerful blessing that God brought, as he slowly taught them other things as well. But the good news sounds different according to where the felt needs or the pain is. There's still eventually that need for the message of sin, salvation, the cross, and all the things that means, but it's also victory over the evil spirits. Victory over the things that we suffer in life. We got our statements of faith are on the church website, but I decided that I thought I'd rewrite them slightly, because it's definitely important that people know that, particularly sort of any Christians who are looking at the church website, know who the dove is, and that we ascribe to the Evangelical Alliance Statement of Faith. That matters. But for people who aren't familiar with the Evangelical Alliance Statement of Faith, that list of doctrines isn't the first thing they want to hear. I was going to read that one. Can we go back a slide? We believe that God hasn't changed, but he has changed us. He has he's always been exciting, challenging, loving. He's the creator of the world. He's the true hope for everyone. He's where we find comfort, meaning, and direction. And he's not just worth knowing about, he's worth knowing. Does that summarize some of what we believe? Again, some of us, have known him for quite a long time. Known him since we were young. Some of us have felt younger since we've known him. People come to him at different stages in life and in different ways. And it's never too soon and it's never too late to begin or deepen your relationship with God. We're a community journeying through life as we seek to support one another and to serve our community in the name of Jesus. Join us. And if that's not what you want to put on the website, talk about it amongst yourselves and come up with something different. But how are you going to present yourself to the world in a way that the world gets it? Gets who you are, not just through the websites. One of the other things on the website it talks about is sort of the prayer. We meet together to pray at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So, I don't know, I mean, what has God been saying to you lately? What have you been asking him? Both in those corporate prayer times and together. Keep talking about that. Keep praying together. There was a sad thing that I noticed on that website. It says, yes, send you to loveyourtoxicity.org.uk. It's not there anymore. Do the people who... To be honest, I doubt there are a whole lot of people who actually find the church website. Maybe more that we'll find it if you show it to them. We'll find Jesus if you show it to them. You've got Facebook friends and real friends... Real friends are on Facebook too, but people that you meet and interact with, how can you comfortably share? Don't know. The Utoxeter link isn't alive anymore. Love you, Utoxeter. But do you know that according to the census, 70% of people in Utoxeter call themselves Christians? Which isn't necessarily a reason why you need to go out and tell them, you know, you're really not. But it may be an opportunity to say, really? Did you know that about this town? How many Christians have you met? What does it mean to them? What does it mean to you? I don't know. I know that as a church, you've got some sort of things to think about, where you're going as a church, what it is. Remember, it's not just the building. This won't get televised quite as much if it burns down. But we're not praying for anybody with the gift of arson. I know some. But what happened? What now? I don't know. It's all the stuff that I've said, and it's more. It's all that Christ has said to you about who you should be as the people of God, and it's more. How it works out for this church, for this congregation, I don't know. But what I can tell you... What? Now? It includes today. As you sing the final song, as we sing the final song together. And then as you drink your tea and coffee and go out the rest of the day and the rest of the week. That's what this is about. I'm going to read a final verse from Hebrews 13. A blessing. Now may the God of peace, who bought through the blood of the eternal covenant, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And no bell rang.